If you only had 24 hours to live and you had to teach your son or sons everything you learned about being a man, from life to love, money to marriage, people to porn, and everything in between, what lessons would you teach him? Well, when my son was only 12 years old, I wrote a book for him I wanted to leave behind as my legacy. It's called Are You the Man? 201 Lessons I Wish My Dad Would Have Taught Me. And I squeezed all of those lessons on manhood into just 124 pages. The lessons I share in this book not only come from my successes in life, but many of them also come from my painful and even shameful failures, including divorce, abuse, addiction, adultery, and abandonment, just to name a few. You can read and learn in less than 2 hours what it took me over 30 plus years to learn the hard way. So just go over to areyoutheman.com and get your copy today. That's areyoutheman.com. Trust me, your wife and children will thank you for it later. One of a man's biggest fears is him failing to provide financially for his family. He's afraid of not having enough money to pay the bills, not being able to financially take care of his children, or being unable to provide the security that his wife desperately craves. Most women have no clue how much a man's ability to provide for his family is tied directly to his identity and his value as a man. No, it's not right, but it is reality. When it comes to money, we worry about it, we stress over it, and we oftentimes hide our feelings about it. And this is unhealthy, not just for us, but for our marriage. They say the number one reason for divorce is conflict over money. But today's guest totally disagrees. He says the problem is much deeper than that, and he can help us fix it. Listen today as he gives us tips on how to prevent money from destroying your marriage. Real Men Connect is next.
Welcome to Real Men Connect. Are you ready to be the extraordinary man, husband, father, and leader God called and created you to be? Then get ready to receive wisdom and guidance from some of the country's most respected men of faith as you learn everything you need to know to go from good man to great man, God's way. No judgment, no shame. Just real men with real challenges seeking real change. All for God's glory.
Hello, mighty men of God, and welcome to the Real Men Connect podcast, where we help good men become great men God's way. I'm your host, Dr. Joe Martin, and every week we interview some of the nation's most respected and accomplished men of faith to find out what it really takes to become the kind of husband, father, and spiritual leader God called and created us to be. Each interview session is packed with practical, proven biblical principles you can immediately apply in your relationships, on your job, and in your community. Today we have with us Darius Carter, who is the creator and founder of Prosperity College, a nonprofit that equips individuals and families with financial education that helps them achieve their financial goals and live out true biblical prosperity. Darius has dedicated his life to helping families realize their personal financial goals through large seminars, small group counseling, family sessions, and even individual counseling. He's a successful husband and father of two small sons under the age of five. God bless him. And Darius is a personal friend I met over two decades ago, and we recently reconnected. His passion for strengthening and supporting families through financial education caught my interest, and I asked Darius to join us today to talk to us about financial stewardship and the impact that it has on marriage. So that being said, Darius, thank you for joining us on Real Men Connect, man. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you for having me, and the pleasure is really all mine. Absolutely.
And Darius, we go way back, but we fell out of contact, kind of like, I guess, like my wife calls it on social media, kind of like flies on the wall, that we hadn't connected, but we've been following each other for over a long period of time. And I had the pleasure of meeting you when you were a student. And to see how much you've grown, not only as a business professional, but as a husband and father, has been truly, truly, truly a blessing to me. So I'm excited twofold for not only allowing you to come on the show and share your wisdom with our audience, but also to reconnect with you as a brother in Christ. So glad for you to be on the show, man.
Well, I have to say that that goes both ways because, you know, when I saw you when I was in college, first of all, I understood. I said, I know what I want to do for the rest of my life. And you were so inspiring. You were so moving. And the message was great, but bigger than just the message, you had the ability to change the mindset and move people into the direction of realizing their truth and realizing the God's blessing in their lives. And I just knew that, like, that's what I want to do.
Wow. So now Darius, you know what you're going to have the people thinking that I actually paid you to say all that. but I know and God knows, and I thank you, brother. I am totally humbled by that statement, man. That means a lot to me, especially over the fact that it's been a lot of years, too. So it's good to see that I'm still trying to stay the course. So God's grace and God's mercy is truly tremendous. And Darius, I want to start. I always ask my guests to share with us their favorite Bible memory verse or Bible verse that they live by that inspires them and gives them life. And so I want to ask you the same. What's your favorite Bible verse and why?
Well, my favorite Bible verse, and it's actually the verse that we base everything that we do with Prosperity College, and it's 3 John 1:2. And it's, "Beloved, I wish that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers." And there have been a lot of different interpretations of that scripture. But when I was praying one day and God gave it to me, he said, when we're born again, we become Christians, we get a new walk, we get a new talk, we get new friends, we do things differently in order to prosper in the spirit. So what that says to me, in order to prosper, prosper financially, prosper in your health, that we have to be willing to change. We have to be willing to do something different. And also, the process of salvation is not a destination. It's a process that we go through. It's a constant refining process to be more like Christ daily and to continue to seek his face. So that's you know, my personal favorite scripture and the basis by which we have created everything that Prosperity College is about.
You know, and Darius, I like the fact that you mentioned that particular verse, because a lot of time we live in a society in America where we are, you know, seeking prosperity and we're seeking abundance. We're seeking to have provision and seeking possessions. But a lot of times we try to prosper, but we leave the soul behind. You know, and the Bible tells us that what is a man to profit if he should gain the world but lose his soul? So I like the fact that that's your favorite Bible verse, because you're connecting the two. Said you can't have one without the other. So as you prosper, let your soul prosper as well. So I love that. So let's transition into Prosperity College, because you just mentioned it. Tell us, how did that come about? Of course, when I met you as a college student, I don't think you were majoring in finance at the time. At least I don't remember you were majoring in finance. I remember you really enjoyed the arts and that kind of thing. So what led you to Prosperity College? I know there's got to be a story behind this.
Oh, there's a tremendous story behind it, because my original major in college was dance. I attended New World School for the Arts in Miami, and I danced professionally for a number of years. And my dance career came to an abrupt halt, and I was trying to say, okay, God, what would you have me do next? And, you know, I worked at high school for a couple years and teaching and did some other things. And I wound up working in the financial sector. And I worked for one of the most profitable banking and lending institutions in the country in the late 90s or well into the 2000s. And we were a wealth institution, and majority of our clients were high net worth. And what I began to understand is, like, not just high net worth clients need this information. So, you know, I prayed about it and prayed about it, and I was making pretty decent money at the time. And where I come from, you don't just quit your job.
Right.
And so when I prayed about it, I went and talked to my parents, and my dad, of course, was upset. I said, "Dad, I'm gonna quit my job." He said, "You're gonna quit a good job." I said, "No, God has called me to bring this information to everyday people, everyday believers who really need this information." So I planned it out for like 6 months, and I quit my job, and I haven't looked back. Now, we've had a financial downturn in the economy, which affected some things negatively, even with Prosperity College. But, you know, it came back. Some clients that I had dealt with prior to the financial downturn, they called me and said, "Listen, man, we need you to come to our church. We need your help." And 4 years ago, so we restarted it, and it's been amazing ever since. We've been changing lives all over the Tampa Bay area and the country.
Now, Darius, you mentioned about your dad. You know, it sounded like my father when I was in college, and I told him that I was going to change my major from computer science to communication. His famous words to me were, "Boy, who's going to pay you to run your mouth for a living?" boy, isn't hindsight 2020? But when you mentioned your dad, you know, not being too keen about you quitting your job, take me back before we get into Prosperity College, what kind of environment you grew up in, so we can get a kind of context of your background to see what drives you now, even as you pursue this type of ministry. So what was your childhood like?
Well, my childhood was challenged. There was some, because my mother and father, my biological parents, were never married, and I was a product of a teenage pregnancy. And, my stepfather, there was a lot of abuse, physical abuse over a number of years to myself and my mother. And I, you know, up until about fifth grade or so, and then my mother finally left, but I raised pretty much my younger brother and sister, and it was tough. My mother was a single mom with three kids, and she often worked late. So I was very much responsible in many cases, being that I'm 5 years older than my next youngest sibling. Very much responsible for taking care of them. And things were tough. There were times when in the refrigerator there was just a block of government cheese and a jug of water. And there were nights when my mother would say, you know, this isn't much food. And, you know, I may not feel you, but you won't go hungry. And she didn't eat and we went to bed. So, you know, as I grew older, as I became an adult, there were some things that I wanted to, in terms of even prosperity, some things I paid attention to with reference to marriage and family dynamics and their effect on being prosperous or your children being prosperous and being able to pass wealth on from one generation to the next and so forth and so on. And the differences between families that have two parents with that stable household and single parents. And considering the divorce rate in the country is so high, even in Christian communities, we're looking at over 50% divorce rate in Christian communities. Why is that? Why is it so broken? And if the benefits or the fruits of our labor, which are our children, are so great, what's going wrong with marriages in this country that our divorce rate is 50%? And it's alarming because even in minority communities, if the nation is the national statistic is a little bit over 50%. In African-American community, it's over 75% divorce rate with less than a 25% rate of marriage. Wow. That's scary.
Man, it sure is, man. I didn't even know it was that high. Good gracious. Now, because that's why I brought you on the show, because I wanted to talk about our finances and how it impacts marriage. And boy, I got a lot to go into, but I still want to go a little bit back into your childhood because everybody's story has some type of impact on them. And based on how you grew up as a child, based on being a son of a teenage mom and everything, and you guys had to go through some financial hardships, I want you to tell me, how did it positively affect your outlook about money and finances? And how did it negatively impact your view of finances?
Well, I'm going to tell you, just so happens I'm writing that chapter in the book right now, which will be out this summer. And we're talking about credit and how people try to fix credit, but you can't really fix credit. You really have to do, it's all about the person, because credit is a measure of how you pay your bills. So it's really the person. You can't fix credit. You can only fix the person or their behaviors with reference to money. So with that being said, we grew up in pretty stark poverty. And with that comes, in many cases, in most cases, a poverty mindset. And when I say poverty mindset, people don't even realize that you have a poverty mindset because they spend so much of their lives trying to buy themselves out of poverty. And what I mean by that is, you know, unfortunately, I was fortunate that God has always blessed me to always be able to make pretty decent money. And yes, you know, especially even right in college, I was making great money. You know, I had to have the Air Maxes. I had to have all the latest and greatest, the Z Cavaricis, whatever was out then in the 90s. But, you know, all those things were not, I didn't buy a house when I graduated from college because those lessons weren't taught. My investments were those material things that really would not facilitate legacy building and being able to pass on wealth from one generation to the next, or growing individually, even spiritually, because those material things really don't validate your existence. They don't validate your relationship with God. So, you know, very much caught into that cycle of that mindset of poverty and trying to use material things to validate my existence. And, you know, I really appreciate poverty for that reason, because it's really made me appreciate not only my relationship with God, but to understand that I can't be validated by any other source, any other person, any other being, any material thing, no car, no house, nothing can validate me. Only God can validate me. And that is, you know, the foundation of Prosperity College. We can't use material things to replace God. And so often in our walk, we're in our financial walk and our just daily walk, we're so busy trying to acquire things, or, and it, I mean, it feeds right into the statistic that the majority of professional athletes who come from poverty, who get a windfall, now you're an instant millionaire, or even lottery winners, they're all broke within 5 years of their initial. And, you know, when the statistics tell us, you know, the truth, or the statistics are able to validate, you know, our issues, we have to pay attention. And the reality of the situation is, so many of our, especially individuals who came from situations similar to mine, will in many cases not be able to facilitate changing. I don't care how much money you make over your lifetime, being able to change that dynamic from one generation to the next. And our, a lot of our focus is to be able to help change generational dynamics.
And Darius, I love the fact that you mentioned that, which is, I hope, an aha for the listeners out there. You said poverty is not a not a condition. It's a mindset. That is a mindset. And obviously, your environment had some influence on you on how you viewed finances, and whether it be the lack or what you need to do to validate. And so I love the fact that you said you look for value in God, not in possessions. And so I know that's one way to change your mindset. And before we get into how our finances impact our marriages, what are some other tips you would give our listeners as far as to, if they came from a poverty background? I came from a very poor background as well. How do they go about changing a mindset they had no ownership in actually creating themselves? What do they do to change that mindset, that poverty mindset?
Well, the first step in solving any equation is, first of all, you have to admit that there is an issue. And so many of us are, we're doing just what we've always done. We're doing what has what we've been conditioned to do. So the first step really is to say, okay, I can do something differently, or I can do something better. I was having a conversation with my brother-in-law the other day, and he's amazing. And I was telling him, I was like, if you want to change your trajectory in life, first you have to admit you have a problem. Now, when you look at your parents, where are your parents financially in retirement? And look at the mistakes that they're made and where they are. What trajectory are you on? And he was on the same trajectory. So with that being said, you've got to do something different. You got to recognize your situation for what it is. Because if you don't change what you're doing, because you're doing what your parents showed or taught you to do, you're going to wind up where they are. Now, if at retirement they're not where you don't want to see yourself where they are, it's time to make a change. And then after that, seek wise counsel. And that's what we do. We're not just in the business. There's a ton of financial education entities out there, but a lot of them assume that there's a family base, there's a family foundation, that those things are in place. Now, we want to go to get to the root of the problem. We want to get to why you think the way that you think, your family dynamics that created your financial personality, so to speak, and be able to modify that personality in order to modify your behaviors, in order to facilitate a different outcome in your financial walk. And that closely relates to your spiritual walk. Now, we are going to talk about marriage, but even the chapter that I'm writing right now, because a lot of my change, because I created Prosperity College before I met my wife. Mm-hmm. And the book that I was writing when I met my wife was The Number One Reason for Divorce in America is Money. Well, my wife happens to be a therapist. And she said, honey, it's not money. And I go, honey, you don't know what you're talking about. And just so happens, my wife's bachelor's degree is in business, but her master's is in social work. And after about a year of marriage, I found out that she was 100% right. It is communication. It had very little to do with money. And also, my wife's family background, she grew up with two parents in a very stable home. So even her financial personality is very different than mine. Something as simple as, if I knew that a bill was coming and I wasn't going to have the money, I wouldn't call. My wife would be like, no, you need to call them. I was like, what do you mean? You need to call them ahead of time. And calling them ahead of time, they gave us an extension. We didn't get a late fee, anything. Just something as simple as making a phone call changed my, not only changed my financial personality, but it also changed my financial outlook. because I would just sit in the mindset of I'll deal with it when it comes. But no, my wife had a great impact even on even though I was doing this before I met her. She was very influential in helping to facilitate change as far as my financial personality was concerned, because even though I knew these things, there were still certain things that were ingrained in my financial personality that I didn't even realize.
Wow. And I'm assuming that your wife probably had some positive influences in her upbringing to have her think along those lines, because obviously somebody set a good example for her to know that. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. My wife's father is a retired Marine drill sergeant, and I love him to death. I think he's a great individual. He's a great father. He's a great father figure, a great husband. Him and his wife have been married, I think, 36 or 37 years. Mm-hmm. So that in itself is a monumental task. And, I often think, I'm like, you guys are perfect. But, you know, Tracy tells me, she says, you know, they disagreed, but, you know, ultimately they wound up having to communicate. And it really led to her understanding of communication and marriage and helping influence, you know, my understanding of what it means to communicate in a marriage.
And Darius, you touched on it twice now about the communication and your wife had corrected you about it. We had a guest on the show who was a relationship specialist. His name is Eric Terry. And for those who are listening, you have to go back and listen to Eric's episode. I believe it's episode number 7, in which he was talking about his struggles with marriage in the beginning. And he did the same research that your wife did. And he found out that there were a lot of different reasons why couples were ending in divorce, but behind, he said the root cause of all of it is the failure to communicate whatever the problem was they were getting divorced over, whether it be mm-hmm. finances, whether it be addiction that's in the family, whether it be anger issues, raising the children. It's all was a communication issue. And he said something I thought was so profound. He says, if you as a husband and wife are not communicating together, if you're not communicating to each other, that means the enemy, the devil, is communicating with both of you.
That's right. Absolutely.
I thought that was great. And so, but before I definitely want to get into marriage because you just alluded to it. But before we get started, because you said that one of the first things that we have to acknowledge that there is a problem. Now, I know there's some people out there who may not know if the problem is serious. And I know from, you know, looking at some of the work that you do, that you work with small groups, you work with large groups and families, but you also work with individuals. Darius, is there a way that you can assess someone very quickly? I know you probably do a detailed approach to it, but if you met someone and you wanted to know what their, I guess, financial IQ thermostat was, mm-hmm. there's certain telltale signs that you look for that could say, you know what, I think you may have a problem if. What are some of those things that you can share with our listeners that may be on the fence thinking, Joe, I don't know if I have a problem at all?
Well, one thing is that's really kind of a barometer for your financial success or your ability to pay bills is your credit. Mm-hmm. And so often people, well, hey, I want to know how to have good credit. I want to know this. I want to know that. And really, you know, and before I mentioned that, you know, you can't fix credit. There's these millions of credit repair companies across the country, and it's a multi-billion dollar industry. And if people really only knew that they're just taking your money, because at the end of the day, you can't fix credit. Credit is nothing more than a measure of how you pay your bills. You want to have good credit? All you got to do is have bills that you pay on time that report to credit. That's it. It's very, very, very simple, because if credit is a measure of how you pay your bills and you pay someone to remove everything off of your credit, you still, once if they are successful, you still have bad credit, because with credit being a measure of how you pay your bills, if you remove everything that was negative, now you have nothing that says that you do anything. So more important than removing things that you didn't pay that now reporting negatively on your credit report is to establish a good credit history. And that really ties into your spiritual walk with reference to that's your name. And you should have a good name. Mm-hmm. And with that being said, so we start there. And another component, I do a lot of couples counseling with reference to marriage, and a lot of marital issues, financial issues. They say money is the number one reason for divorce in America, but it's really not money. And where I'm going with that, and I may be getting a little bit ahead of myself, but in the assessment, there's more issues with couples in counseling stem from money than anything else. And you know, with a marriage, it's about a relationship. It's about being on one accord, as the word says, and being equally yoked. Now, with that being said, the only way to relate or to be on one accord, you must communicate, first of all. And second, the most important relationship outside of the relationship with your spouse is your relationship with God. And the Bible says that we should communicate or pray with God daily. And that is the process of being on one accord. We must communicate with God. So if the most important relationship outside of the relationship with our spouse is with God, and the most important aspect of that relationship is to communicate or pray daily or pray constantly or consistently be in prayer, what do you think the most important aspect of your relationship is with your wife? How do you think that you're going to be on one accord? Because if you're not communicating clearly and effectively, you might not even agree. But if you can communicate effectively, there is no guessing. There is no, well, I don't know what you did, or I don't know where the money went. No, if you're communicating, you're budgeting as a couple, and you're talking these things through, because money is a very sensitive topic. And money is like the thread in the sleeve of a sweater. You pull that thread, and next thing you know, the arm falls off.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a very slippery slope. But if you create good communication with reference to finances, you can talk about anything in a marriage. So, you know, very quickly, a lot of times when I get a couple in or an individual, because even creating good money habits, good, honest communication about money, even with an individual, once they do get married, it really sets a precedent. So in terms of, you know, a lot of times people, when I'm in a counseling situation, it's because there's a problem. And usually that problem, you know, stems from, you know, who they are, what they've learned. They're trying to fix their credit. They're trying to buy a home. They're trying to purchase a car, whatever it is. But a lot of times it's not so much the credit, it's their individual. So, you know, in terms of recognizing your situation, if you're not able to achieve what those things that you want in life, there's typically a foundational issue in terms of your thought process as to why you're not achieving what you would like to achieve in life.
Now, Darius, you mentioned about that communication breakdown, because now we're into it now, talking about the impact that it has on marriages. But where do you think that breakdown stems from, or continue? Because obviously you've seen a lot of couples, you've met a lot of people, and I know there's a lot of different reasons for different couples, because they're all different. But what seems to be like that a consistency as when it comes to a problem and a breakdown of communication? What seems to be at the root of the issue?
Well, you know what, and it's not all men, and it's not all women. It's a combination of the two, and it's almost the same thing with every couple. And from a male perspective, and I had this problem myself. The word says, "Pride cometh before destruction, and a haughty spirit before fall." Mm-hmm. And as men, we want to be the breadwinners. We want to be able to go out. We feel as though we're still hunter gatherers. We can go out, kill the food, come back, beat on our chest, and our wives will be proud of us for being good providers. And therefore we don't want to communicate a lot. Well, a lot of times we'll say that our wife is nagging this and our wife is nagging that. But we don't want to talk. We don't want to communicate. Well, naturally, women are communicators. And when we are in a situation where we don't want to communicate, you know, a lot of times our wives' love language is communication. And that is exactly where we go wrong, especially when it comes to money. Because women, what's the number one thing that women want? They want security.
Right.
And a lot of times for men, our wives will look us in the face, square in the eyes, and say, "Honey, is everything okay?" And as a matter of fact, the roof can have blown off the house. They're standing in their living room and the sun is beating down on their face. The wife will look the husband in the face and say, honey, is everything okay?" And the husband will say, "Absolutely," because of that thing called pride. And it really, that's that component right there is the beginning of the end. And we have to get over ourselves and really be able to be on one accord and trust our wives and trust God that no matter what, that we can communicate, that it's okay. Because if she married you, right, she trusted you to take care of her, and you can't be afraid to tell her. Now, from the female's perspective, we've kind of evolved into a society where with the divorce rate being so high, a lot of women, and I've even heard pastors say this, "Honey, you got to keep some money aside just in case he doesn't act right." So a lot of our women have taken on the personality, "I don't need a man anyway." Right. And with that being said, that creates another level of dissension and not communicating in a marriage. Because when we begin keeping secrets, especially about money, it creates discontent in the marriage. So when you have the a lot of our men, and a lot of times we're teaching our men what it is to be a man is we have to be providers and don't question me and this, that, and another. But God gave you this partner. And then with the women, with the attitude that I don't need a man anyway, you know, it's a recipe for disaster.
Wow.
So we have to really address those foundational issues with reference to couples in terms of what society is telling us. That's also why I appreciate Real Men Connect so much, because we're getting to those financial foundational issues in terms of, because even when I got married, there was a lot of things that I did not understand about truly being a husband and what it meant to be a husband to my wife. And those things are really important. And it really leads to the foundation of communication in our marriage.
Darius, this is so good, the information you shared with us, because I love the fact that you're hitting, when you're going to the root of what the problem is, a lot of times we look at our bank account and say, that's the problem. If I only had more money, or if I had a better job, or if whatever the reason may be, we always think that it's financial reasons. But what you're basically saying is that the root of all this is the pride that prevents us from communicating about our struggles and our concerns and anxiety when it comes to money. And wow, and to me, I'm hoping that the men out there who are listening to this, that it gets into their spirit, because I know it, like to me, you're ministering to me as well, is what I'm thinking about this, is that it's not a money issue. It's a communication issue. And I got to ask myself, why am I not communicating more with my wife about X, Y, Z? And she has to ask herself the same question. How come I don't feel comfortable talking to him about, you know, ABC or whatever it may be? Now, I noticed, and when I was looking at, you know, getting information to get your bio together and everything, and you made a statement in something that I read that said that good financial stewardship is directly connected to a good marriage. And let me repeat that again. You said that financial stewardship is directly connected to a good marriage. Darius, what do you mean by that?
Well, when I make that statement, if you really want to understand a man's relationship with God, look at his relationship with his wife, first of all,
mm-hmm.
because that'll tell you exactly what his relationship with God is like. And, you know, with that being said, because it's one thing to be a good financial steward as an individual, mm-hmm. but if you're a good financial steward as a couple, that said, tells me that you're on one accord. And the word says, gotcha. when two or more come together in his name, there's nothing that you can't accomplish. So imagine, right, outside of your relationship with God, your wife is supposed to be the number one relationship outside of your relationship with God. Imagine if you and your wife came together on one accord, there's nothing that you could not accomplish on all levels. So right. When you talk about being a good steward with your spouse, that means that you're communicating, that you're touching and you're agreeing. There's mountains that you can move with just being together mm-hmm. on one accord. It's really, really amazing.
So I get it now, what you're saying there is, yeah, because that does make perfect sense. Yeah, he says, if two or three are gathered in my name, or if you do come to one accord, he said, I will be there also. I'll be present. So what you're saying basically is that you can, I guess you can not just look at financial, you can look at all the other aspects too. If you're in agreement on anything, that means you're on one accord. So if you think you got a good marriage, but yet you're not on one accord with your finances, there's potential, or I would like to say, you're giving the enemy a foothold, that, you know, giving them an opportunity to step into your marriage and cause discourse. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct.
And so I love that. That is good. I'm glad you explained that for us. Now, you mentioned just a little bit ago that you struggle, you know, with some of the same issues that men struggle when it comes to pride, when it comes to communication. And so you guys had your little bouts when you got married. How did you guys resolve your issues when it came to the differences in your opinions about finances and your ability to communicate with each other?
Well, I'm going to tell you, you know, I often say that salvation is not a destination. And, you know, marriage is something that's also, it's not a destination. And very much your walk with your spouse, your daily walk with your spouse is very much like your spiritual walk. It takes work daily. And there are times when I slip back into, you know, instinctively what I've done before. And so my wife and I, at this point in our relationship, she'll say, hey, this looks like, you know, you were doing this before. And I'm able to say, you know what, honey, you're right. I'm sorry. This is what we're going to do, and we'll sit down and we'll talk about it. And especially considering my wife's a therapist, we have great conversations and great and not everyone is as fortunate to have a wife who actually has, you know, professional training with reference to, you know, counseling and communicating.
Right.
But I'm going to tell you, even if you don't have that, having, you know, open dialogue and being able to sit down and honestly be vulnerable and talk about different things. And that's what my wife and I do. We're able to communicate with each other and talk our way through things. So if something that I do makes her feel uncomfortable, she doesn't have a problem saying it to me. But the thing about it is, there are times when I will instinctively have a problem with being able to express my feelings or my emotions, because we teach our men that they're not supposed to cry, they're not supposed to feel, they're supposed to just be. So there are times when I have to deal with that dynamic, but it's very, very real. Who else are you going to be vulnerable with if you can't be vulnerable with your spouse? So that is also something that I've had to come to terms with, being able to be vulnerable and talk to my wife about my feelings, and then we're able to address it. And when we're able to address it, so really, you know, my ministry, yes, it's based on finances, but the root of the problem often has very little to do with finances. So we're really into building people. Mm-hmm. Finances is just is that attention getter.
Right,
we want to get your attention with the finances, but if we can fix all those other things, the foundational issues, the outcome will be productive finances. So at the end of the day, with my wife and I, it's a daily walk. It's a daily process. It's a daily refining and getting better and making sure that we keep open lines of dialogue between the two of us and talk our way through whatever issues, because it's not a matter of when you're going to have an issue, you know, or if you're going to have an issue, but when, because things are going to happen, but you have to be able to communicate your way through. And if you're communicating and you're on one accord, when things happen, they're not that big. It's just, okay, we handled it.
You know, Darius, what I hear you saying too, as well, is that is not an end goal. It's a process. And so there's no such thing as that, okay, we're going to communicate one time and never going to have another problem with communication again. That is something that you have to go through and to grow through as a couple together.
Absolutely.
And so let me ask you this, because I know it's got to be some man out there listening, because at least this is what I'm thinking. Maybe it's just me asking this, because you encourage couples. I heard you mention earlier in the show that we should be communicating weekly, if not daily, about our finances with our mates, with our wives. That seems to me like a lot of communication, Darius. what should we be discussing with our wives, and what should they be discussing with us that it doesn't seem like this monumental task and this mountain to overcome?
Well, the biggest thing, even in terms of helping people get good credit, because that's always a sore topic. How do I get good credit? How do I get good credit? Well, you know, we go back to the foundation. Credit is nothing more than a measure of how you pay your bills. Well, guess what? Your budget is how you pay your bills. Now, in counseling circles, we call it a spending plan, because when people hear the word budget, they feel as though they're the restrictions that are going to be put on them and their lives. So we often say spending plan, and we talk about, you know, you should have the ability to understand and know where every penny that you made, where it went. And if you can't do that, often you know, or for instance, have you ever left the house in the morning with a $100 bill and you get home in the afternoon and you don't know where it went? And because if you don't assign your money, it will assign itself to something and you probably won't even know where it went. Mm-hmm. So when you're with you get with your spouse, and I say weekly, my wife and I do it on Sundays after church, we get together and we write everything out. And now my wife, she's very organized in that she knows. She's written out on the calendar every payday for the entire year. She has a form that she broke down what bill is due and that time of the month and what needs to be paid out of the paycheck. So if a bill is due the day before she gets paid, she knows it needs to be paid out of the previous paycheck. Now, some people do it all together, but my income fluctuates greatly because it's largely commission based and business income. So we come together, we, and my wife takes care of certain things and I take care of certain things, and we have joint accounts that we have for the kids and what have you and savings, but we still hold each other accountable, and she's my accountability partner. So if, you know, I spent money on something that I didn't discuss with her, and this was tough because my wife was a communicator. My wife wouldn't get her nails done unless she called me.
Wow.
Right? She wouldn't spend a dime unless she called me. And I was of the personality where this is my money. If I'm at Home Depot and I want a new router, I bought a new router. I didn't discuss it with her. Mm-hmm. And so that was even tough for me. And sometimes it still gets to be a struggle for me. Not so much for her, but she is a grand communicator. She will tell me everything. And at first it was like, man, what's wrong with you? Why do you need to know what I'm spending? You know, I make more money than you anyway. So, you know, but that's not the point. Mm-hmm. The point is, when we got together and we started doing it together, and she held me, she became my accountability partner, and she held me accountable to where if I put us on a budget and I didn't adhere to that budget, she was able to call me to the carpet, right, and vice versa. And it was more so me than it was her. And here it is. I teach this to couples, but my wife had to call me to the carpet. So, you know, what that says is, you know, I had to eat some of my own cooking, so to speak, because just because I made really decent money, I would, and there are moments where I knew I had it, but that doesn't mean that I should have spent it.
Right.
You know,
right.
I have a college fund that I need to fund for my kids. I have other goals that we have to achieve, because it's never about how much money you make. You know, it's really about how much of it you keep. Mm-hmm. And because you can make $1 million, but in, let's say in 5 years, will you still have that $1 million? And so, you know, I've never had a problem making money. You know, but it's not, like I said, it's not a problem of how much you make. And that's why professional athletes, that's why lottery winners, they're all broke within 5 years because of their poverty mindset. So I have to say, although I was even teaching it, there was still some residue of that poverty mindset that I was suffering from when I met my wife. And it's just been a process of cleaning out all of that poverty mindset residue over time. And my wife has been a really great resource to even help me personally.
You know, Darius, what I'm hearing you say is that if men are struggling with, man, you know, he's talking about we need to communicate with our wives on a weekly, maybe even daily basis. I don't know what to talk about. You know, what I'm hearing you say, and I'm reading it between the lines, is that as long as you're spending money, you got something to talk about. So,
amen.
The only reason why you shouldn't have anything to talk about, you stop spending money.
That's right.
So yeah, that's right. Always going to be a topic of discussion. Now, I want to jump in before we get into the man up questions, Darius. I want to take you back to when you were younger, because obviously, you know, I love the fact how transparent you've been with sharing that. So you're the financial person in the family, but it seems like your wife has really helped you out a lot. But this is your ministry. I love it, man. but I like the fact that you're teachable, and that's why you're a great person to be teaching other people. But I want to take you back when you were younger, okay? And if you can go back and speak to a younger Darius at the age of 21 and concerning money, what would you tell him to do first?
Wow. That was I'll tell you, with reference to that, there's a little story. One of my mentors, because like I said, you know, I came from abuse as a child and some other things. So my objective when I got into college was, I said, I'm going to make all this money and I'm going to save all the abused children in the world. Mm-hmm. And with that being said, because I was I know you're from Miami, and I went to college in Miami initially, and I just wanted, I was teaching dance classes in Liberty City and all those things. And one of my mentors, he said, why are you working? Because I was killing myself. I was going to school full time. I was working full time. I was teaching, doing all these different things. And my objective was to make all this money to save all the kids. And the first thing, you know, my mentor, he said to me, he goes, why are you pursuing all of this, you know, financial wealth? He goes, you are already extremely wealthy. Your wealth really lies within you and really what you offer to the people. So if I were to give myself some advice as a young person, that advice was actually given to me. Mm-hmm. You know, everything that I needed and with reference to wealth was already within me. No financial thing, no tangible, asset or whatever really can replace the wealth that God has already given me.
You know, I you know what I hear when you're saying that? I'm hearing Moses when God is telling him to go get Pharaoh to release his people, and Moses thinking, I'm not equipped. I don't know, you know, how to do this. What can I do? And he told Moses, look at what you have in your hand. Mm-hmm. Everything you need, you already have. And so that's what I'm hearing you saying, that whatever, you know, we think that success and happiness and fulfillment is going to be outside of us, but God has already made us wealthy on the inside. And so it goes back to your favorite Bible verse, you know, as you prosper, let your soul prosper as well. So that goes right in line with the advice that you received. Now, let's take you back to 21 again. Now, if you could see Darius again, what would you tell him to do better? Something that he was doing or started to do, what you tell him that, you know, you need to do this better.
Well, what it definitely would be to slow down and to listen. Mm-hmm. And because some of those lessons, yes, they were being taught, but I was also moving so fast and not always paying attention. So if I could slow down and really not only smell the roses, but enjoy my youth mm-hmm. and not be so, just based my entire youth on making money and making sure that I, as an adult, I did not experience the poverty that I grew up with. And I missed out on so many things as a result. And not knowing that really God already had his hand on my life and that he would always provide. But there were some other things that I missed out on as a result of not allowing God to do God and me getting in God's way.
Right. Right. That makes perfect sense. Now, Darius, when I met you, you were probably about in that age, about 21, maybe a little bit younger, maybe even a little bit older, but you seemed to have a good head on your shoulders then. So here's my question. If you can go back to that same age, what were you doing that was right that you would tell Darius at 21 to do more of?
What I was doing was right was, you know, I did have a big focus on giving back and helping people to change. And that's really what I've dedicated my life to, helping people take their lives from one place to the next level. And I'd like to do more of that. And I like to will have done more of that. And but a lot of, like I said, a lot of my focus was to achieve things financially so that I could buy all of these children out of the horrible, horrific situations that they find themselves in. Mm-hmm. But had I been a little bit more focused on that, opposed to, I was doing some of that, but a lot of it also was, I've got to make money, I've got to make money, I've got to make money. And so many of us get caught in the idea that if we have a lot of money, that we will be fulfilled. But, you know, had I done more of that, and that's also where I find myself now, in a peaceful place, that not only can we help save those children in many cases by helping build families and building stronger communities so that those atrocities don't happen, and also help build financially stable communities at the same time.
Yeah, isn't that funny, Darius, is that, you know, we both grew up in abject poverty, and boy, we always felt we didn't have enough and we didn't have the right type of house and that kind of thing. And what we wanted more than anything was a house, but really what we needed was a home. You know, a home where there's strong spiritual leaders in your home to help teach you right from wrong and to raise you up in the admonition of the Lord and train you up in the way you should go. And so a lot of times the things that we think kids need, we, like you said, we already have and we possess. We just need to give that to them instead.
So, absolutely.
So I love that. I love that. Now, Darius, it's time for our infamous man up questions. And these are five quick questions, starting with the letters M-A-N-U-P. And they just require your brutal honesty, which you won't have a problem with at all. And the questions, Darius, are you ready, man?
I'm ready.
All right. And we'll get started right after this short break. And we'll be right back with Darius Carter. If you're like most men in our audience, you're committed to becoming the man, husband, father, and leader God called and created you to be. But the truth of the matter is, you struggle with either finding the time or knowing where to start. That's exactly why I created the Real Men Spiritual Leader Blueprint, to give you a step-by-step, easy-to-follow guide to spiritually leading your family, even if you're a new believer. Now, you can't buy the Real Men Spiritual Leader Blueprint, but you can get it for free by signing up for our free e-newsletter. By signing up, you will be notified anytime fresh content is added to my site, so you don't always have to visit my blog to stay up to date on the latest information. Now, to get your free copy of the Real Men Spiritual Leader Blueprint, just visit realmenconnect.com and simply enter your name and email address on the form on the page. So if you're tired of trying to figure it all out and fit it all in as the spiritual leader, provider, and protector of your family, Don't miss your chance to discover how to be the man God called and created you to be. Sign up today at realmenconnect.com. All right, now the M stands for mistake. What mistake did you learn the most from as a man?
The mistake that I learned the most from as a man was, and it really goes back to not communicating or allowing my pride to get in the way of my marriage. And don't get me wrong, I love my wife dearly and we have a beautiful marriage, but I made some mistakes as far as, and all of those mistakes lead, stem from me and pride getting in the way and not communicating with my wife.
Right, right. And I think a lot of men can relate to that as well. Now, speaking of men, as a lot of men, the A represents attitude. Now, if you, given the fact that you work with a lot of couples and families and particularly men, if you could change an attitude in men, husbands or fathers, et cetera, what would it be?
The attitude that I would change would be, it all leads back to that pride, and it has a lot to do with your attitude. And our society really depicts this image of men that we have to kind of be the camel cowboy, that nothing, we're indestructible, and we're not. We're really not. And God, when the word says that God giveth you a wife, He has a great thing, and it's true. And we have to learn to not only trust God to give us the wife that we need for us, but we also have to trust that wife, that trust that God gave us that wife, but also be able to trust her. Right. And because even, you know, my wife, in the beginning of our marriage, before we were married, my wife said, "Hey, we're going to go to marriage counseling." I said, "I'm not crazy. I don't need to go to counseling." Right. Mm-hmm. And we found a third party, wasn't my pastor, wasn't her pastor at the time. And we found a third party. He happened to not only be a pastor, but he had a PhD in counseling. And after the first few sessions, first of all, he became one of my best friends. And I was the one saying that I didn't need counseling. Mm-hmm. But he really made me understand that it wasn't that I didn't trust my wife. I didn't trust me, mm-hmm. and which created other issues. So it led back to that the pride issues. There can't be anything wrong with me, but it stemmed from a lot of things that I had been through in the past. And so my attitude had to change about certain things. I had to learn to trust. I had to learn to communicate. I had to learn so many different things. My wife, my marriage has been such a blessing to my daily walk and spiritual growth. I thought I was perfect before I met my wife, but actually, no, she made me whole.
Right, right. You know, I've heard it said that if you want to find out how selfish you really are, get married. It will reveal everything about you, man. Yes. So I didn't even know I was that selfish. But anyway, now there's the N stands for next. And you mentioned that you're in the process of writing a book. And so, and I don't want to jump to an assumption, but what's the next big thing you would attempt to do for God if you couldn't fail? Is it the book or is it something else?
Well, it's the book and the entire prosperity ministry, and but our objective is to help not only build individuals but build families. So, you know, we understand that in order to build individuals, we have to build strong families. We have to decrease the rate of divorce in our communities. As we build strong families, also you will begin to see a major shift and change in the financial landscape of what's going on in the community. Because like I said, in the African American community in particular, if the national average is 50%, over 50%, in the African American community, it's over 75% with less than a 25% rate of marriage. So what that says is of the 25% of African Americans, or right around 25% of African Americans that do get married, there's a 75% chance that you're going to get divorced.
Right.
That's deplorable. Where does that leave our children?
Yeah.
If statistically, children that come from stable two-parent households or Christian households are going to outperform those that don't, where does that lead us? So, you know, we have this ministry is about helping change the face and the landscape of our community by building strong families. So, you know, that's what's next. Our next on the agenda is helping to save all those little children. So my mission really hasn't changed from the time that I was 21, 22, 23, to help all of those abused children, to help all of those. But we have to get to the root of the problem. If we don't fix the root of the problem, it's going to continue to perpetuate itself and grow.
Well, I can tell you, Darius, I'm on board to help you with that because that's right in my passion zone of seeing families restored. And I know, you know, my personal belief that it starts with the man. You fix the man, you're going to fix the family and that marriage. So I'm on board with you, brother, on that one. Now, the U stands for understand. And when you were younger, what was the one thing you didn't understand about being a man that you understand now as being a man?
Well, the one thing that, once again, and I hate to talk about my wife so much, but she's been such a blessing.
Well, I'm sure she doesn't have a problem with that.
Absolutely. But it's really, you know, I understood some things that with reference to statistics and understanding that, you know, the benefits of coming from a stable household. But once I got married, you know, I began to understand so many more things and how really difficult it is to be married. Mm-hmm. And it's not easy. And it really takes a really strong commitment. And it really takes communication. It really takes so many other things. But I really began to understand myself through the process. I got to know myself and really began to really even grow my spiritual walk. Because like I said, if you really want to know what a man's relationship is, his relationship with God, look at his relationship with his wife.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Excellent. You know, I often tell people, I said, if we really knew what God required of marriage, because you said it's a commitment. I said, we really knew what God required of a marriage, most people wouldn't get married. I said, man, it is too much work. But we know that the benefit is if you do it God's way, that there's a huge blessing that comes with that. Now, Darius, here's the last question, and it's for P, and the P stands for problem. As a mighty man of God, which you are, what one problem in your life do you still struggle with as a man, even today?
Communication. I hate for it to be a one word answer, but you know, considering that it's so important and I preach it every day, you know, it also has to be tested.
Right.
So if I'm preaching it, it's being tested daily. And there are times when I slide right back into my old instincts. And it's getting less and less frequent, but you know, instinctively we've been conditioned to do things a certain way. And it's very hard to break out of those habits. So if I had one thing to choose, that would be it. And and my wife would agree, but you know, she's such a great spouse that she's able to calmly communicate that to me in a way. And sometimes I don't always receive it well. I'm like, what are you talking about? And sometimes, you know, it takes her to slow down and break it down to me. But you know, this is a process. Mm-hmm. You know, our daily walk is to be more Christ-like, and sometimes, most times, it's about us getting in the way. It had nothing to do with Christ. It's about us getting in the way of our own ultimate success and what God would have in store for our lives. And a lot of times, the only reason we don't achieve those things is because of our own undoing. It has nothing to do with what God would have for our lives.
And Darius, I really appreciate your honesty and your transparency and sharing and answering those man up questions, because I really think that could benefit a lot of our men out there who are listening. And I know that you've agreed already to come on the show as sort of our resident expert on finances, because we're talking, man, in general terms today about the impact that finances has on our marriage. But I know we can get into some specific details, whether it be getting out of debt, how to do that, saving up for your children's college fund or whatever, planning for retirement, the importance of having. I mean, there's so many different things we can go into. So I can't wait to bring you back on the show again. But we're at the end of our program today. But guys, don't you worry. We'll be back to do it all over again next week with a new guest, with new insights and new lessons. So make sure you don't miss it. But I'd like to thank Darius Carter for joining us today, for being so gracious with his time. Thank you, Darius, for joining us, man, on Real Men Connect.
Thank you for having me.
And Darius, you know, you're always a welcome guest on our show. But quickly, if our listeners wanted to find out more about you and what you're doing with Prosperity College and the book you're writing, everything, how could they find out more about you and how could they get in contact with you?
Well, our website is www.prosperitycollege.org. And all of our contact information will be there. We have a host of other companies. We also have our parent company called Four Winds International. And but you can reach us through any one of our sites. It's the number 4windsintl.com. And but you can reach us through any one of those phone numbers. Everything will be on the websites.
Okay, fantastic. And what we'll also do, Darius, we'll put that in the show notes as well, links to be able to contact and reach out to you. So, guys, if you're texting, if you're driving, don't be texting. Don't try to write anything down. We'll make sure that when you go get the show, that it'll be in the notes, so you'll be able to contact Darius anytime. And so thank you, Darius, for being with us. And guys, to all of you out there, please do us a favor. This is so important. Take about 30 seconds to go over to iTunes and rate the program. It's the best way to help us get this program in the hands, ears, and hearts of men just like you. And please don't keep us a secret. Karen is sharing. So share this podcast with your friends, with any man you think needs to improve his communication with his wife when it comes to finances, or if it's, that's a sticky issue for him. Guys, don't keep this a secret. Share it with other men and bless them as well. So until next time, I'm Joe Martin, your man builder with realmenconnect.com, reminding you that we are males by birth, but we are men by choice. So each and every day, choose to be the man God called and created you to be, because a male is a terrible thing to waste. So until next time, stay strong, stay blessed, and as always, stay in his grip.
Thank you for listening to the Real Men Connect podcast with Dr. Joe Martin. Real Men Connect isn't just a podcast. It's a mission, ministry, and movement to help good men become the great men God called and created us to be. And the best is yet to come. So if you enjoyed this episode, go ahead and leave us a review in iTunes. It really helps us to build the podcast and to reach, teach, and impact more men, all for the glory of God. And make sure you check out realmenconnect.com to get our free tools and resources to help you go from good man to great man God's way. Again, that's realmenconnect.com. Thank you for listening. We'll see you in the next episode.